My name is Janet Grant, and I serve Holden along with Diane Shiner, who's over here, as co-directors of Holden Village, and it's our privilege today to welcome you all to the Valley and to this wonderful place. We know many of you have been here time and time again, and we know that some of you, this is a first visit, and we are glad you're all here. Holden will be celebrating its 40th anniversary in this next year, and it has been a wonderful 40 years of ministry in this valley. We came about 40 years ago because a young man, student at Lutheran Bible Institute, Wes Preeb, saw an ad in a newspaper about an abandoned mining town. And he was persistent and wrote letter after letter after letter, encouraging the Howe Sound Mining Company to give this place to the Lutheran Church. And after a third letter, they wrote back and said, sure, you can have it. And there were those during those days, I'm sure, that wondered if it was really a gift because of broken windows and lots of things that needed to be fixed. But we are here for many, many years because of the diligence of people like you and people who are like you, your parishioners, who have dedicated time and gifts of money and gifts of teaching to the ministry of Holden Village so that we might be a place where we can be a part, so that we can go out to be a part. This is a place of renewal and rest. We hope that your time with us these days is restful, a time when you will get new ideas, make new friends, renew old friendships, and be prepared to go back down the hill to do the work to which you are called. And we thank you for the work that you do, that you are a part of the Holden community wherever you are, and that you represent Holden. And we hope that your time with us this week gives you new resources and new ideas to continue in that work. So today, I give you my blessings for these days, these meetings, these conversations, and I also introduce you now to my partner, Diane Shiner, who has been working here with me this last year, and we've been having a wonderful time creating this place and making it ready for you.
Peace be with you. I have just a few of the practical announcements since not everyone came to our earlier orientation. Just come some of the bare essentials. First of all, it's around safety. We just want to make sure that, especially those of you who have been here before, that you recognize that the first aid station is no longer in Agape. It is down the main street at the far end of Lodge 6, where it says Hike House. That's also the first aid station. We have two medics, John and Bob, who are in the village, and they do have hours, and they also can be found in case any kind of injury or illness should occur. If there is an emergency during the night or while you are staying here, in all buildings on every floor, there is a fire alarm system. Only use it for an emergency, but should someone become suddenly and dangerously ill, please use that to call for assistance. We hope that it doesn't happen, but we are very sensitive here in the wilderness about being prepared. The second area is around hiking safety. I know that many of you, in fact, some of you even just came through those beautiful mountains in order to get here. And we would, it's a wonderful time to hike, no bugs, but please do it with other people so that someone can come back for assistance should aid be needed. And then the third area is a resource that we have been experimenting with this summer in the village that has been tremendously successful that we have not done in the past, and that is to have spiritual direction available in the village for guests and for staff. We've had a series of six spiritual directors here every 3 weeks. who have been highly utilized in terms of discernment, identifying God's place in the path, and they have been used very much by people in church ministry. So if while you're here, you would like to meet with Jim Christensen, who is acting as spiritual director right now, there is a sign up on the kiosk, so you can look for times that don't conflict with the schedule, and you can just put either an X or your name in order to block out a time, and he's available in Agape. We'd like to make sure that you are aware that's a resource here for you. I think that's everything, except one of the things that we really love to do at Holden is just appreciate the good work that people do. And I think this is a nice opportunity to welcome and thank Bob Winkle for the work he put together for this conference.
Well, thank you. I've never had a hand before I said anything, and oftentimes not a hand after I said it. But welcome to all of you. What a delight to see you, and we're glad that you made your way up, and we hope that you've found the graciousness and the hospitality already of Holden Village. It's always wonderful to return here and to see the smiles as you get off the bus and the way in which they take us to the places that we're to lodge for our stay here. So we hope that things have worked out for you. I want to say a word of thank you to Kathy Ostlin. Kathy has been working with me, Lens, producing our newsletter, and also helping with this conference. And Kathy's in back, if you just wave your hand. And let's thank her, too, for all her work. She's on the staff of Our Saviors in Everett, and we worked together for a while, and she said that she'd like to help in her extra hours on tasks like this, so she's been a very a willing worker. I wanted to just take a minute before we begin to thank our speakers for being with us. They've come a long way, and it's not been the easiest of travel. Not only have some plans been changed to get here, but there has been some level of anxiety, I'm sure, of flying and in the wake of our disaster in New York and Washington, D.C. But let me introduce them to you, because they all won't speak immediately and this afternoon, and you'll have a chance to greet them, and I know that they will want to personally get acquainted with you. First of all, let me ask just John Polkinghorne to stand. John's come from Cambridge, England, and we'll speak later. Also from our Wartburg Seminary, Dwayne Larson. Dwayne. And from Worcester, Massachusetts, I probably have it almost right, Susan Nachtigall. And in just a minute, I'm going to be introducing our worship leaders. I also wanted to say thank you for the presence of three of our bishops today. It's great to have them up here. Bishop Paul Swanson, Oregon Synod, Paul made it. Bishop Chris Berger, I saw Chris come, there's Chris. Northwest Washington Synod, the LCA, and Bishop Martin Wells. Is Martin with us? Not yet, okay. But he's here, I've seen him. That's great. And then to both Diane Shiner and Janet Grant, again, thank you for your welcome and for making us feel so good here in the village. Just a very brief note on schedule. I want you to note that we've changed just a little of the format. Usually on Monday night we've had a fireside chat, but we've noticed that many of you have had sleep deprivation problems. And so we decided to change that, and following Vespers this evening, you can do what you want to do. But two nights we will have fireside chat with our speakers, and it'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions and to do dialogue in a more relational and kind of a community way over in, is it Koinonia still, that we have. So you'll be able to meet with them, and they'll all be on the line for questions and exchange with each other and with you. Well, let me introduce to you our worship team. It's a real delight to have Boots and Paul Winterstein as our worship leaders. They both live in Seattle, Washington. Paul there serves as pastor at Calvary Lutheran Church, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Boots is the North Puget Sound Area Director of Lutheran Community Services Northwest. Together they share interests in theology, worship, and ministry, and we thought it would be interesting to change the pace a little and have a team as worship leaders, so it's a delight that they accepted our invitation. Paul has served parishes in Lebanon, Oregon, and Baltimore, Maryland, where he was active in community mental health programs, biblical education for the laity, inner city ministry, and a variety of ecumenical projects. His interest is in worship, and that has helped him to become involved in being chaplain for pastoral conferences on the East and the West Coast, and helping to plan worship at two of the previous Holden Theological Conferences. Boots has been a professional youth worker in the Presbyterian and Lutheran churches, a retreat leader, a public school teacher in inner city Baltimore, and since coming to Seattle has served on the staff of Consultation to Clergy, the Lutheran Center on Aging, and was also on the staff of Region 1 of the ELCA. From 97 until the fall of 2000, she was program manager of Grassroots Connection, the Congregational Social Ministry Program of LSS. As a volunteer, she has been active in the League of Women Voters, serving as president of the Baltimore City League, child care, and advocacy of social justice. She loves music, enjoys working with church choirs and sharing music with children. They both have long educational pedigrees, and I'm not going to share all those with you, but we are glad that they have said that they will be here with us, and now we worship together, led by our chaplains.
Thank you, and we thank you for the opportunity. Would like to just have us take a moment of silence to sort of gather ourselves together and gather our minds and focus them.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is a delight for both of us to be here today and to be working together on something which is new to us. I'd like to introduce another person who is a member of our worship team and will be all week. We are really honored that the guest village musician this week is Tom Witt. Tom Witt will be leading us in music, gathering music before almost all of our worship times. So you might want to get here a little early. We're going to sing as much as possible, and we're just really, really glad, Tom, that you're with us. Why don't you stand? Another person who is a member of our worship team, planning team, is Sharon Lone Browder. And Sharon will be the cantor for tonight's Holden Evening Prayer. That will be our first evening prayer, which we'll be sharing with the Holden community. And one more announcement just about music. I noticed at least one other guitar on the boat. So if any of you brought musical instruments of any kind, penny whistle that's in your pocket, whatever, would you please make yourselves known to us probably after this afternoon session? And we would love to use your gifts throughout the week wherever you are willing. We're going to begin with one voice, 718, Gather Us In. Stand.
Not quite a month ago, Boots and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. 35th, that's right.
It says so
now
in the
I'm
script.
In We've been through a lot together. But nothing like this. Bob Winkle, what have you done? Asking us to work together on these devotions.
You would have thought, Bob, that with all of your experience, you would have known that opposites attract. But work together? This is a whole new thing. Create and plan something that is remotely cohesive?
You should have heard us talking about these. I want things done decently and in order. I'm a German. I want them planned out and organized. I want something exegetically thoughtful. I want something to stimulate the mind.
Well, I want organization too, because I'm also German, if it must be known. But I also want music, lots of music. And I've talked with some of you and said, what are you looking for when you come to Holden? And you, to a person, told me, quiet, time for reflection. Especially now, it's even more important, 2 weeks, nearly 2 weeks after September 11th. I'm not interested in the worship in so much heady stuff, not too much talk. The conference will have quite enough of talk. And good talk. I must qualify that. Good talk.
So, how do you expect us to work together? Listen to that. How can anything creative come out of such chaos?
Ah, wait a minute. Maybe that's just the point. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. If scholars are right in suggesting that Genesis was written after the exile, then part of that message may have been that out of the chaos of war, captivity, and slavery, and all the loss that that meant, the chaos of their lives, God was able to create something new.
You mean that to Israelites, to Wintersteins, to all of us, there might be hope for our chaos? Can it be that it's not so much creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing, but specifically creation out of chaos? For all whose lives are feared with too much chaos, with too much of their lives out of control, can God really offer new possibilities, even a new creation?
I think so. I know so, especially now when hearts are heavy with sadness, bodies weary, emotions on edge. Especially now, we need a word, a good word.
So we look to the gospel for good news. News of God's creative, redemptive presence. Specifically, we'll look at the Gospel of Luke, the gospel that has been our companion for 10 months now.
We, with the Holden community joining us in the evenings particularly, will use in our worship this week the gospel for next Sunday, the account of the rich man and Lazarus, to help us reflect on these possibilities for a new life and a new way, perhaps, of being with one another.
Perhaps the preacher types among us might like to think through the lesson with us and maybe gain an idea or two.
Or not. Maybe our searchings and musings will spur you to your own creative brooding. And that would be even better.
For now, it is enough just to recall the familiar story.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores.
Lazarus certainly had little control over what happened in his daily life. His life was chaos.
Ours too. Still in the numbing aftermath of September 11th, we come to Holden with pain, deep pain, with emptiness, with confusion, with desire for clarity, renewal, and Sabbath rest.
We come with a desire for stimulation of mind, recreation of hearts, friendships new and friendships renewed. We come for hope.
We come seeking the new every morning, always surprising, creative presence of God. So we begin our time together with prayer. We pray for our speakers, for John and Dwayne and Susan. We pray for our colleagues. We pray for our fellow seekers here at Holden. In this moment, we invoke God's presence with us here, in this place, where new light is streaming. We're going to sing our invoking of God's presence in a very simple prayer to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to sing it and teach it to you. We're going to sing it together, and then eventually we're going to end up singing it as a round. It goes like this. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And I just realized that in my nervousness, I probably did it a little wrong. So we're going to start it again. And Paul, will you sing it with me from your side and my side? I'm going to do a little bit lower. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. That last one stays just on one note. Let's do it together one more time like that. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We're going to do it as a round with these two groups here as part one, these two as part two, and these two as part three. We'll do it one time in unison and then three times as a round.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you, Paul and Boots, for energizing us and beginning in such a grand way. It was a good decision to ask you to work together.